بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to the fifth episode of Iftar for Soul. And we are on the fourth episode minus one because of the episode zero. And we are continuing the search of wisdom behind the rhetorical questions that have been asked by Allah the Almighty, the Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, and understanding certain questions regarding the origin of knowledge and how does it all start. Now, before we even touch today's topic, I was just going through some lectures today, and something that really stayed with me and I'd like to share with you. And it is a quote by Abdul Hakim Murad, Imam Abdul Hakim Murad, from I think he's the chairperson of the Cambridge Cambridge Muslim College. You can find his YouTube videos, very profound videos. He's a convert, a British scholar. And he gives very useful insights into certain topics related to Islam. And today he said a really beautiful thing, and that was, gain love for knowledge so you might gain the knowledge for love. And I think what is building upon what we talked about yesterday about knowing things, right? Like the names, the ism, the qualities, the characteristics and attributes of certain things. We need to have a desire, an innate desire, to actually look out for those things. Things do not fall merely in our laps. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the model of Islamic perseverance is not that you sit and wait, but you do whatever you can. There's an ayah in the Quran, I'm forgetting the reference right now, you can Google it, you will find it. An ayah in the Quran that says that what really counts are your efforts. At the end of the day, the outcome is not in our hands. And we this is a lived reality. I mean, you know, look at, it is needless to give examples. Be it an Olympic match or something at work, or even all the efforts we put in to change someone, to make someone fall in love with us, not only in romantically way, but even our managers or at work, and we do so much, and many a times, you know, things don't really turn out to be how we wished or we wanted them to turn out. So who is then in charge of these events, right? Like what is happening in the background, and what is going on? And I think that if we really look at the Islamic portrayal of how humans were created, what actually happened, the conversation between Allah and the angels, it might unlock certain secrets that we may not have known. At the end of the day, we are still free not to believe in it. There were people at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who saw him in action, who saw that he was they experienced how he was receiving the revelation, yet they chose to disbelieve. So I think at the end of the day, we are still free to do what we want to do with the information we perceive and we see, and it's just that, you know, ironically we know more and more, but we perceive less and less. The art of solitude is long forgotten. Now, building upon this, I'd like to talk about today's ayah, which is the Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 33. Which is just an ayah, two ayahs after the one we talked about yesterday. And I really like this for a few reasons, which we will be highlighting today. And Allah says in this ayah, translated by Dr. Mustafa Khattab, the Clear Quran. Again, if you want to know more about who Dr. Mustafa Khattab is, he has a very interesting podcast on, I think it's an interview by One Path Network. I'd highly recommend you to look out for these people and have a look and how he came up with this entire project of translating the Quran. So Allah says in this ayah 33, so Surah 2, Al-Baqarah, Allah said, O Adam, inform them of their names, Then when Adam did, Allah said, "Did I not tell you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you conceal?" So now, I'm not going to get into much debate that is behind, like, who is them and what is Allah talking about here. But, you know, I just looking at the turn of events, Allah is asking Adam to inform the angels of the names, and then Allah exclaims that, "Did I not tell you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you conceal?" So here, you know, at face value, right, this verse is basically, this ayah is basically an extension of the previous ayah, what we did yesterday. But what is more interesting is that what this ayah basically highlights is are three points. You have the source of knowledge, the scope of knowledge, and the space of knowledge. So what do I mean with these things, right? Because, you know, I think this is, again, like, it's basically building upon the same ideas we discussed yesterday regarding epistemology, and again, you know, I would again ask you to read this paper that I'm referring to always, because that paper is so vast, expansive, and enriched with information that, you know, I wish we would teach those things in school. I wish we would really teach religion in school. We would teach spirituality in school. And what's really interesting for me in all of this is that I think people find it easier to say that I'm a spiritual person than religious person than religious, because I think that at the end of the day, you know, we love to live a life where we like to have control of what we are doing, of what choices we are making. But I mean, if you really think about it, right? I mean, right now you have organizations that actually pay CCTV owners to collect their data in shopping mall, for instance, to see the movement of people, like how they move around in a shopping mall, so that when you open your Google search the other day and you have ads coming up, your ads are then shown in a way based on what you were basically doing in that space. So you're even if your choice is free in that particular moment, but it has been influenced. And we cannot turn a blind eye to these influences. I think it is a delusional statement to make that we are free to make a choice. We are free to make a... excuse my language. I think I did not mean that. I meant this is a delusional state of mind where we think that we have authority and power over the choices that we are making. We need to know these underlying influences that we constantly go through. I mean, right now, our life is run on algorithms, right? Like we are slave to we are basically enslaved by these algorithms that is picked up by our behavior online, and not only through social media, also through Google, the things we search for. And I think we need to be aware of these things that even if I am turning on my laptop and I chose to, you know, Google some stuff or go online and buy something, what I see is basically basically not anything new, but basically an image of my virtual image that the algorithms have. So we have this constant confirmation bias, right? I mean, so many people have different Google results based on even if they put in the same words in their bar. So looking at all of this, right, and I think this is basically my theory. I just feel in my experience that it is easier for me to say I'm spiritual because I don't like to be told what to do, right? And this is where the basic struggle comes with religions. Many people like to have a spiritual approach in life because they want to have that upper hand in basically deciding how they want to view the world, how they want to view how things are unfolding in front of them. But then again, this is where then Allah comes and He says that, you know, I am the source of knowledge. The scope of knowledge that you have is what I have given you. And even the space in which you practice your knowledge, in which you gain knowledge, that is also limited. So then, you know, the question becomes like, how much knowledge do I actually possess, and where is it coming from, right? Like, this is then again, like, how do I know what I know? And then here, what's really interesting for me is that we need to understand that even if we are exposed to so much knowledge, we need to understand that there is in our intellect, for instance, there is a drawback in our intellect that it is limited. So we give certain power to certain organizations, to certain books, to certain institutions and whatnot. And then every single author we read, every single anchor we hear on our podcast, we give them a certain power to shape our minds, to shape our ideas and thoughts. So we have to be very careful here. Like, who do we give this power to? And what's interesting for me is that Allah comes here and tells you, "Didn't I not tell you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you conceal?" So what I conceal is where I get stuck. And I think this is where, you know, we always yearn, long for someone who really gets us, who knows our challenges, what we are going through in life, and who can advise us. And Allah here says that, you know, I know what you're concealing. I know everything that is inside of you. Not only that, I know everything that is in heaven and the earth. And what's interesting for me here is that right after heavens and earth, you have something revealed and something concealed. And it's in a person. So as to say that Allah says that there is an entire universe inside of you. And something that is revealed is, there is something clearly revealed about the heavens and the earth that we see, and there's something that is concealed also in the heavens and the earth. For example, even just now in our generation, we have NASA that's basically helping us to understand what's beyond what the naked eye can see standing on a field. So now we are able to see, and yet there is so much more that is still concealed. And Allah says that in the entirety of all of that, I know everything out there and I know everything in there, inside of you. So this is what really moves me, to know that it teaches me a very crucial message, to be humble, to even if I have achieved and if I have gained so much knowledge in a certain subject, I still need to understand and humble myself that the ultimate source of knowledge and ultimate knowledge belongs to Allah. I cannot put myself at a space where I say, okay, I know basically everything now. This is a disease of the heart, and that is related clearly to arrogance. Everything that results from arrogance is basically a disease of the heart. And that's where Allah mentioned the Quran, that Quran is sent down to heal the diseases of the hearts. And arrogance, greed, gluttony, and whatnot, all of these things, all of these emotions, they start taking shape in the heart. And what's really interesting for me in all of this is that, you know, this is one of the reasons what kind of keeps me at a distance from theory of evolution. Because if you talk to people who believe in that, and if you talk to people who have faith in certain creation, I'm not talking only about Islam, you will see a difference in how humans are considered, like the way they function, the way they talk, the way they communicate, what their purpose is in life. All of these things matter then. And they matter in a different way to these two groups of people. I talked about empiricism and rationalism yesterday, and I think this is something that we can also refer to in our study. And I feel that, you know, I have been staying at a distance from Islamic studies, because, you know, again, it's not nice that someone whom I've never met, whom I don't see, tells me what to do with my life. You know, it's not a comforting feeling. But upon, you know, once you live a life where you think you are in control, where you think you are in control, but then you come to a point to realize, well, maybe I'm not. And then after living a life where, you know, you please people, then you please your society, you please your parents, and you please yourself, you take your desires as your God. You start worshiping yourself, you start worshiping your great things about you, which is not a bad thing, but I think there's a difference between self-respect and self-worship. And then, you know, going on a path where I worship Allah and knowing that I don't even I like to call him my creator, because it kind of gives me this personal connection that I'm looking for with Allah. And I think that if someone knows me so well deep inside of me, he knows what's out there, he knows what's inside of me, I feel really safe. And I think this is what really this ayah kind of, you know, provokes inside of me, this sensation of security, that someone who is perfectly running the world, right? I mean, if you really look into the cosmos, right? If you really look at the arrangements and whatnot, it's perfectly designed. Like the stars, the motion, the rotation of the earth, the position of the sun and whatnot. You know, we are marveled by all these discoveries, and even if you meet these scientists, right? I mean, of course there are some atheists as well, but if you really meet people who are agnostics, who are physicists, who are studying the world out there, they do realize that it cannot just simply be a chance. And that's why I think I read this somewhere that the I think it was Dr. Hatem Attaj, he said that in one of the explanations, that human life, like if we say it's only based on chance, it is like saying that there is a tornado and it picks up all the necessary equipment of a functional Airbus A380. Like, what are the chances that a tornado picks that up? That's the chance that we are playing with. So coming to a conclusion, I just hope that we understand that arrogance against the ego that we have, it's something that we need to learn how to curb. We need to learn how to purify it, how to humble it, and how to humble ourselves, because we are not the center of the earth. We're not the center of the planet. After figuring out about ourselves, we need to extend ourselves to the service of others, to the service of Allah. And may Allah enlighten us with this wisdom, and may Allah guide us to the straight path. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.